For our next story, what about healthy people willingly going into a ring and punching each other in the head? There have been renewed calls for boxing to be banned after the death of Scottish fighter Mike Toyle. The 25-year-old was rushed to hospital following his fight against Dale Evans in Glasgow and passed away 24 hours later. Mr. Toyle's death comes less than 7 months after Nick Blackwell suffered bleeding in his skull after a fight with Chris Eubank Jr. The death has led to renewed calls for boxing to be banned. The Labour MP Paul Flynn is with me today. Paul, morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning. And the former world champion boxer Dave Bogue McCauley. Dave, morning. Good morning to you. Good morning, Dave. Morning. Paul, what are your thoughts around this?
Well, I don't think boxing should be banned because the danger is it will go underground then, and we've seen things like cage fights that are even more barbaric than boxing. But I think we have to learn the lesson, and it's there before us, that blows to the head are damaging, they're cumulative, they destroy brain cells that can't be replaced, and it's the main problem is not just these very rare tragedies, and we're all very sorry to hear this, the death of a fighter. The main problem is the effect of blows to the head. The whole purpose of boxing, in order to win, you have to render your opponent unconscious, preferably. That's inflicting brain damage.
So what would your alternative be? What would you do about it? What would your alternative be, Paul? What would you do about it?
I'd change the rules of boxing, as we did when they were first instituted, when it was decided there should be no blows below the belt. Well, what the boxers have above the neck is at least as important and as delicate as what they got below the belt. And we want to... we just had a story yesterday about Shane Williams, you know, the best rugby player that Wales has ever had, saying that he now has frequent headaches, he has difficulty concentrating, and that he was concussed. I mean, it sounds extraordinary. In one out of three games that he played. Now, that's a terrible way to treat a human brain. And we must look to the sports of... rugby has woken up to the fact of how dangerous it is, and they take it very seriously. Boxing hasn't. And unless they change their rules, I think the sport will eventually die of shame.
Dave?
No, I don't think the sport will die of shame. I think that the British Boxing Board of Control have got the strictest medical rules in the whole of boxing, because had they known that the young guy who died had apparently he was having migraine headaches, you know, before the fight, like a few weeks before the fight. Had all these things been divulged, the Board of Control probably wouldn't have let the young man fight. But the rules and regulations involved in the British Boxing Board of Control are very, very, very strict. And you can't... I know we're there to hit the head and hit the body, but if you take all these things away, sure, there's no point in having boxing. It's a game that people want to get involved in themselves. They know the risks involved, they know it's dangerous. Like, you walk across the road, you do anything today, like being a human being is dangerous. So you can't wrap everybody in cotton wool, and you have to let people make these decisions themselves. If they decide to get involved in contact sports, they're entirely entitled to do that, and they shouldn't be told what to do by other people. I know people might be trying to look after their welfare and their health, but it's up to the individual to decide what he wants to do. You know, if he wants to get involved,
we do draw lines in society when we say, look, for the collective good. We just don't accept it in society, Dave. So we do draw collective lines, don't we? You know, we make everybody wear a seatbelt, for example, because it helps keep them safe. And I guess what Paul's saying this morning is we need to change the rules of boxing so that you're not trying to damage someone's head.
But that's the reason why the heads are... If you change all these rules and we can't go to the head, we can't go to the body, what are you going to hit? You know, there's boxing becomes... You know, there's no point in putting on a pair of gloves. Because there's nothing to hit, maybe a shoulder or a chin. If you're hitting the chest,
Paul,
you know, you're going to damage the heart. You
Paul,
know,
it seems extraordinary that the government fine motorcyclists for not protecting their heads if they don't wear their helmet, and the same person can get in a boxing ring and have hundreds of blows to their head in a legal fight. Shane Williams said yesterday that he played rugby at a time before we realised just how delicate the brain is. I mean, the brain is in a box in the skull, tied to with strings, And if the fluid protecting it is not doing its job, it's banging around against the skull. And 70% of boxers, when post-mortems are conducted on them, are found to have brain scarring. That's the problem. We know more about the damage to brains than we ever knew before. Okay. And in order to make the sport survive, you could make it survive with blows to the body and give people the points for that. You get the same skills.
Okay, final word to you, Dave. 20 seconds.
Well, putting on headgear would be a disaster. It proves so in the amateur game. The only reason why professional boxers wear headgears in training is to help prevent getting cuts. But you can't see from the side. The headgear becomes very heavy after lots of usage because of the sweat and everything. Becomes very heavy. So when your head is being punched, it's going back with a more bigger jolt.
We've got to leave it there. Dave, thank you very much. Paul, thank you.